Welcome to the IBM Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Drinks and Destinations Podcast.
The year is about to end and we are just a few hours away from welcoming 2017. One thing that sets the mood for New Year is a New Year resolution, a list of things to do and things to not do, and quitting some bad habits and while embracing some good ones. So making the right choices is also one of the most important aspects. New Year is all about a chance to be a new you. On that note, let's begin the second holiday season special episode of the Drinks and Destinations podcast. I'm your host, Rojita. And in the first part of the holiday season special episode, we spoke about the food and drinks trends in 2016, what to look forward to in 2017. We also had our first tasting of beer and whiskey in the studio. And we had a very interesting chat with two important guests. In today's episode, joining me in the studio is May.
Hey. Wow, we've been wanting to do this show together.
I know, absolutely.
With this, like, you know, oh, May, let's do a show together. And I'm like, I'm doing too many shows. I don't know how many shows I can do. But basically, I'm May. I host another podcast called Made in India. And that's basically a music show. But I've come today to help you out because Samita has got a sore throat. And
yeah,
she can't make it. So I felt really bad because... So I totally get, this is the time, winter time is where, you know, you're feeling the ticklings in the throat and you're not feeling
almost
well.
Almost everyone is falling sick. I remember the last episode that we did, I had a really bad cold and my voice was completely different.
But you still came.
Yeah, but I think Samira is really,
she's really bad.
Suffering. Yeah, truth.
Poor thing. So you know what? I know, so since we're talking about drinks and destinations, a hot toddy. Should we recommend like a toddy?
Or mulled wine maybe.
Mulled? Oh my God, I haven't had a mulled wine since I was in the UK. I love mulled wine.
Yeah, I think you should make it at home, or maybe you could just get together and do it.
I had a friend of mine who I used to live with who beautifully made mulled wine at home and it tasted amazing with orange peel and like cinnamon
and
sticks
and spices everything. And nutmegs. And
so nice. Yeah. It was so good. But have you ever heard? So one of my favorite recipes for hot toddy is one that Jamie Oliver does. And I can't remember.
What is it?
I can't remember. It's basically, it's whiskey and it's like a bunch of spices and cinnamon and again, orange peels and a whole bunch of other stuff. But it tastes, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
But I put this up of this Jamie Oliver's and do you know what jungle tea is?
No.
Right? Okay. So I'd never heard of jungle tea, but, one of my friends, his name is Manu, and he manages a brewery in Pune, and he told me about jungle tea. And I was like, what's jungle tea? And he basically told me it's like hot tea with spices, cardamom, dark rum, and mint.
Wow.
Isn't that sound amazing?
That's amazing.
Like, I want to be in a jungle with tea like this.
Yeah,
sounds great.
So anyway, a little intoxicating and still good.
And so we're like, my throat's feeling amazing right now.
Yeah,
jungle
tea
is the best.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're actually going to launch into travel.
Yes.
Right,
we're going to talk about destinations to look forward to in 2017.
So basically adding to everyone's New Year's resolutions of like where you should go to travel next year.
Yeah, I know. That's a very important thing, isn't it? Don't you think it's important to know?
I think if you know when you have holiday time, if you plan it like well enough, then you know that trip's going to be amazing. Because the thing is, when you plan something too much...
Yeah, then the surprise element is gone, obviously.
Because then you don't have free reign to, you know, in no wiggle room to do the things that you really want to do.
Yeah.
But, with it, you've got some travel destinations that people should totally check
out. In 2017, yes. Yeah. So, there are top 10 countries that I... got a little bit of reference from Lonely Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these countries that I mentioned, I actually want to visit this next year.
Oh, so on your bucket list as well?
Yes, absolutely. Because I haven't been to all these places.
Oh,
in fact.
Cool. Okay.
So we're starting with Canada. Mm-hmm. And for all that positive energy unleashed by its energetic new leader, Justin Trudeau.
Justin Saab. Yes.
Yes, I know. I love that guy.
Everyone's just like, he's so cute.
Good at whatever he does.
He's an excellent PR machine.
Absolutely.
Unlike someone else we know with a bad hairstyle.
Yeah, of course. And that's why US is not in anyone's list this year.
But why Canada? Like, what would be exciting in Canada, do you think, to go to?
See, for me, it would be the food fusion and the wines. The wines that people don't talk about much. The Canadian ice wines are fabulous. In fact, they're making some really good wines.
Oh,
not many people know about it. as a wine region, I would love to visit Canada for that. And obviously for the beauty and, you know, that place is not discovered by too many people. And there are a lot of Indians who live in Canada, I know, especially Punjabis and different... People from different part of the world, in fact, they settle down in Canada.
So Vancouver and Toronto, I think the two places where you
get... And Montreal.
Montreal is really... I don't know if it's as popular because most of like... So I'm a Malayali, so most of us are not in India. So most of the family I know are either in like Vancouver or they're in Toronto. Montreal is sort of like a student city. Okay. And I know a lot of young people are there because it's very culturally active. They're doing a lot of interesting things. The kind of mix of cultures that are there. It's kind of like Berlin, you know. Berlin also is just like, you know,
vibrant and
there's so many things going on, and like nooks and corners of the city. You get to experience so many like little kinds of like subcultures of what's going on, whether it's music or film or whatever it is. So I knew like a music teacher who had like an underground punk band in Berlin.
Really?
And she's like one half Tamil, half British girl or something like that. Wow. And I met in Chennai. And so I was like, oh, this is so interesting. So Montreal is like that.
Okay.
But like Toronto and Vancouver is like maybe more mainstream urban,
so,
I guess.
Yeah, so all these, basically all these reasons why Canada should be there in your list. Then Colombia. I've heard that this
really,
year...
Really, is it safe?
So apparently now Colombia is getting out of that zone of unsafe places and everything. So it's going to be one of the favorite destinations in 2017. And it's safe to travel there, of course. And especially with Pope Francis scheduled to visit Colombia in 2017, it's going to mark the Andean nation's first papal visit in 30 years.
Wow. Can I just tell you one thing, which I'm so excited about? The Pope and I share the same birthday. December 17th, people.
Oh,
We're practically the same. He's practically like my brother. I know him. He's like, he's my birthday buddy.
So then it makes sense for you to visit Colombia.
I know. I should just hang with the Pope on our birthday, right?
True. Absolutely. Okay, so the next country would be Finland. A little bit of history, like fought over by Russia and Sweden for 800 years. Finland has finally gained independence in 1917.
800 years, that's tough, man.
Yeah, they were ruled over by Russia and Sweden for so many years. And imagine, we keep complaining about our whole legacy.
Well, just 100 for us.
Yeah. But so they are going to be celebrating their centenary with this year, next year. So there are a lot of events planned in every region. There is, you know, skating and ski championships happening. Yeah. So that would be a nice place to visit next year. And then on the list is Nepal. So despite the earthquake in 2015, the country still has so much more to offer. I think it makes absolutely, you know, a necessity for every traveler to definitely, you know, make a trip to Nepal. And especially people from India, I think we should.
Right,
I haven't been to Nepal.
Yeah.
And I really want to go to Nepal and Bhutan.
I agree. So my mom used to... She was basically a social compliance auditor, so she'd go there to audit the labor, whatever it is, in Nepal. And so she'd get to go there all the time, and she always tell me, because it's also the atmosphere, like Nepal and Bhutan, the people, the people make a place sometimes. They're so warm and kind and helpful and sweet. So my mom is just always tell me, because she's been to Bhutan as well. And what is it? Bhutan has that gross happiness.
Yes, they're one of the countries which has the highest happiness in the happiness index. They stand
the happiest
as
people.
A number
and
one.
I'm like, how? What are they doing that we're not doing?
I know.
They don't drink. They don't get high. Jokes.
Just happy people.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Happy people. No. Okay.
So some other countries in the list could be Bermuda. I don't know why Bermuda is there in the list, because of the kind of stories that we've heard about
Bermuda.
It's quite
spooky, that place. Yeah.
But apparently you could travel to Bermuda and not get lost. So, and Oman, Mongolia, Myanmar, and Ethiopia. That's a very interesting list, because in Ethiopia, apparently they have their own calendar where 13 months of sunshine are celebrated. And it's a nice exotic country to visit. So these are the countries to visit in 2017. But there are many places in India itself to explore that becomes really hard to select from. I'm very sure you agree with that. I have been to a couple of places, not been to many places in India. So I'm definitely going to take some cue from you and plan a list.
I don't think I've explored as much. But, you know, because I think India... it's such a massive country. We're so diverse. And I've had so many moments where I think I've explored the South considerably, but not the North enough. But my places that you know, my recommendations for places you should definitely check out is, I used to live for a very brief period of my life in Port Blair in Andaman Nicobar Islands. And Andaman Nicobar is stunning. Like, yeah. It's just beautiful. And it's not just about the number of islands that you can go see, because they're islands that that you can go, like, where the water is so clear, so crystal clear.
And best for snorkeling as well.
Yeah, so a lot of people get their diving certification from, like, Havelock Island in Andaman and Nicobar. And Port Blair is also, like, I don't know how it is now. I remember the airport being super tiny. They had no conveyor belts. They just had, like, one cement, like, slab in one semicircle, and they just threw your bags in that semicircle. God. You need to go pick it up yourself.
But the change is good to be in you know, airport where...
No maintenance airport.
Absolutely.
But it's interesting because there are a lot of aspects of Andaman Nicobar that have a historical significance, because they used to call it Kalapani, and they have the central jail there, which does a huge light and sound show. So you get to understand what it was for a lot of these freedom fighters that got sent to Kalapani, because you can't swim back. Actually, Andaman Nicobar Islands is far closer to, like, Thailand than it is to India. It's super far away. It takes 2.5 to 3 days by ship. And I remember when we went, we took a ship called the Nangauri. And Nangauri, it was terrible because we went during monsoon time.
Oh,
and it was like,
God.
The seas were super choppy. We were swaying left and right for 3 days. And this was when Titanic released as well. Can you imagine how long ago that was?
Unbelievable. How did you manage
but
to
flying
get on
there
a
is
ship?
Easy. Flying there is 3 hours. Hmm. So it's not too bad. And I would totally recommend going and doing a bit of both. So do the snorkeling, do the sea, beach stuff, but also do the historical stuff. Because there was a super spooky island called Viper Island, which when you get there, it's like, if you've ever seen Lost, it's like that island.
Really?
It's super freaky and scary, because that's where the gallows were. That's where they would hang people or whatever.
Oh my God.
And so you feel that.
And how far is this
vibe.
Place from the main island?
I can't remember now. I was very young when it happened, when I went there. But I just remember getting, like, super scary vibes and, like,
and nobody lives there.
It was such a small island. It's literally just, like, you can see, like, where they used to hang people, and then you just take a boat and come back. Mm-hmm. But Viper Island was, like, part of... But yeah, it was super spooky. So Andaman Nicobar Islands, I totally recommend.
Okay.
This year, I also just got a chance to... I've just come back from a weekend in Jodhpur. I ended up going there because my mom's best friend, they were celebrating their 25th anniversary, and she organized a super meticulous schedule of things to do. But one of my favorite parts of this Jodhpur trip was we went out into the Thar Desert, and they have, it's called Harial Dani, which is this, I don't know if it's the company or the place, but you can go there. They have these tents set up, and I am, you know, when you're, like, camping out, you don't want, you know that you're going to be in the sticks, you know that it's going to be a little rough, but This was done so well. The toilets have a proper, like, proper Western toilet. It's probably, like, bricked up. You have, and the tents are built around this. You have Western toilet, full plumbing system and everything. It's not a hotel. It's just done really nicely. And we went there. We went on a camel ride. And then we were chilling, having a couple of beers. We played dumb charades. You know, I was with a whole bunch of oldies. It was hilarious. And then they had set up these sort of mattresses and these small cushions. And all of us sat around, and they had a stage, and they had like a Rajasthani mehfil. And I'm not sure if they were Mengani musicians, but they were Rajasthani artists. Mm-hmm. They sang, and they also had, like, two dancers that came. They had, like, some 5 pots on their head, and they do this crazy Rajasthani. I love their outfits. It was so nice. I'm like, where'd you get the
feeling
from?
I think you went to the same place that I was in October. Because I did the same thing.
It's so
exactly.
nice, though.
It's beautiful. Really nice.
I had the
I had a great time.
Did you camp out there? Because that's the only thing I didn't do. I didn't camp out.
Yeah, we stayed in the camp for one night. And then the next morning, again, I went for a camel ride. And that was
so fun.
Early in the morning and late in the evening. So that was really fantastic.
I would totally do this, like, desert camp out, because the sunset's beautiful. That mehfil was really great. Then another place I would totally recommend is I went for the Zero Festival. called Arunachal.
Yeah.
Which was amazing because I've never actually been to the Northeast before. And it's one thing I have to tell you is you got to give yourself some time. Don't go for like a weekend and come back because the Northeast isn't worth a weekend trip. You need at least
Absolutely.
5 days to 10 days to go there and properly. And Zero is really remote. Like if you're going to like Shillong or maybe just Guwahati or whatever it is, they're slightly easier to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But going to Zero, which I'm not even kidding, land in Guwahati, we took an overnight train to a place called Nahar Lagoon. From Nahar Lagoon, it's just a 6-hour drive to Zero. It's so remote. God. And the thing is, you have to be super patient. I was really lucky that I went with a very sweet couple that took me there and had been there. I convinced them, somehow charmed them to take me like the year after that too. But I had a really good time. The festival was really well organized. We were staying in a homestay with a very sweet couple who, that lady cooked such great food. And I ate enough pork to my weight basically in pork. So I was basically made of meat by the end of that trip.
So but you had great. Your quota of pork for the entire year
I
there.
I really did. Maybe. I so did. I loved it. At one point, I think Ambika and Hoshna was the couple I went with. They literally slapped me. They were like, stop. And I was like, can I have some more bacon, please? And they're like, stop. They actually started like hitting me. Like I felt so abused. And I'm like, let me do what I want.
Okay, remember, guys, then, if you have to go to Northeast, then definitely remember the festival.
The food's great, yes.
And what
it's the Zero Music Festival. It's usually after their monsoon time, so it's probably around, like, September, October time. So it's really nice because it's not raining, it's cool, it's not freezing cold. But you don't want to stay indoors. You want to just walk around and chill and see the scenery and cut through, like, farm fields. And the people there are also really warm because, again, everything shuts at 6 o'clock. So even for us during the music festival, we had to get back. So many people were so kind to us and gave us lifts. And so people
there.
But
it's safe. It's not too.
It's, well, from when I was there, it was safe. Because Zero, especially that town, know that, you know, there's a huge music festival happening there. And so the town sort of like come together very sweetly to like look after whoever comes down. So it's nice.
That's great.
So those were my three recommendations for sure that you should check out. So yeah.
Very nice.
Yay.
And I would have recommended Rajasthan as well because year I was in Rajasthan and I went to, in fact, Udaipur also. You've been to Udaipur, right?
So, this was actually, Jodhpur was my first time in Rajasthan.
Oh, wow. Never then you must do Udaipur. Oh, you really? Must do Jaisalmer. I mean, brilliant places to go
There's
to.
There's so much history there.
So
That's
much.
Amazing.
Did you know that it was a part of the Silk Route, the old route
yes,
that used to do the trade between Asia and Europe?
So it's amazing.
There are a couple of routes which were basically exploited for money, and every trader that used to pass through that route would extract money.
So,
and that's how Jaisalmer became so rich. And that's how it's golden city.
So Jodhpur, I remember we had gone to this place called Mehrangar Fort, which is like this
lovely fort.
And again, so some of the parts of the fort were made, like there was one which was like the lady's bedroom, right? And they had these like circular crystal balls at the top on the ceiling, which were from Belgium, again, because they were on the Silk Route. And because there was no lamps, so what would, they had no, whatever, electricity.
Electricity.
Whatever. So what they would do is they would light like a lamp on the floor, and the light would, or the sunlight would reflect on these like crystal balls, and then it would just light up the whole room, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
And it's kind of disco-like.
I think the episode is going to turn out to be a Rajasthan special episode if we don't control
ourselves.
So
what other places in
India
would you recommend?
And then we have to come back to Maharashtra. There's so many places in Maharashtra that we usually don't, we take it for granted actually.
Being in the state, right? Because you've been Bombay, like why don't you go anywhere else?
I know. And the only places that I have been to, I think maybe Pune and a couple of other places, only because places where there are vineyards, I have been to those places.
Nicely done.
Nasik, of course. Especially next year when Sula Fest happens and its 10th anniversary is happening, so obviously Nasik is going to be so it's going to be a huge thing in February. So that's one place. But I have a friend called Yashna, and she always looks for, you know, opportunities to get away from Bombay city and
totally
find a new place somewhere in Maharashtra. So I asked her and she's given me some suggestions. So she tells me that if you are the adventurous kind, then go camping, trek to the Korigad Fort, or camp by the Vadradhara Lake, or go see the lunar crater lake. Did you know that there was a crater in Maharashtra?
Can I tell you about this?
Yes.
I once got asked to be... So basically, there was a guy who I'd gone on like one date with. And he... I was in the Middle East at the time, but he just messaged me like a picture of this lunar crater lake. And he basically said, like, do you want to go?
Where is it? Oh.
No, he just asked me, like, do you want to go? So he was actually going to go. We're going to do... our date was going to be a road trip to lunar.
Wow.
And I was like... That's kind of awesome because that place
brilliant.
Is amazing.
I would have loved to go. Did you go on a date?
No, I was in the Middle East at that time, so I didn't. But it was a great freaking idea. And I'm like, hats off to guys who are creative with their dates.
Absolutely.
I'm so impressed. Yeah.
So, yeah, that could be a very good option. Or for the beach bum and water babies, like Kashid Beach or Tarkarli Beach are like paradise.
Oh, wow.
And one can even go on an exploration trip off the Malwan coast, which is replete with beautiful beaches and every
good
few
food.
Kilometers.
Malwan food.
Awesome food, absolutely. I know. Yeah. And Panchgani for luxury tents, Mathiran, Mahabaleshwar, Lonavala, Machan Resort, which I have been dying to go to.
You
I still
haven't
have,
gone?
No, not yet, but I have to go there.
You know what? We should totally get Varun Huja, who is the owner of the Machan, to come on your show, man. He's a really nice guy.
That would be brilliant. Seriously,
yeah?
We should
Let's
get
do
him
this.
There.
The Machan's amazing.
Yeah, so that's one place. So Western Ghat needs to be explored and all these places. But if you're like me, someone with no plans for New Year's Eve, then I think we need to take some help from you, May, and you have to tell us what to do.
New Year's Eve tips. So should we do the New Year's Eve tips after the break?
Yeah, let's go on a short break, and when we come back, May is going to give us all the tips about New Year Eve.
Yay!
It was rated Goregaon's most intelligent podcast. It was the best new podcast of the day when it was launched. And now, the irreverent brand of attempted humor and botched education is coming your way. You have many burning questions.
So what is the Brexit? What do mathematicians do, man?
Introducing Simplified, a weekly podcast that deconstructs issues around you, such as, what on earth is Bitcoin?
So Bitcoin is just another currency, like the rupee or dollar. The difference here is, it's a virtual currency.
Do resolutions and cameras really matter?
They think that just because a number is higher, what they're getting is actually more.
And encryption.
So encryption, okay, it's a process of encoding messages in such a fashion that only the intended recipient sees it in its intended format.
Hosted by Narendra Shanoy, a very wise man who can't stop making B.G. Woodhouse references. And Deepak Gopalakrishnan, who calls himself Chuck, a madman who can't stop making poor jokes.
Narendra, what do you call a forest where you find all the latest news?
I don't have a good feeling about
that. A tropical rainforest.
Follow Chuck and Arain as they scour Google and read Wikipedia for you and condense it into language you can understand. Simplify, helping you appear smarter to an audience that knows no different.
Hey, you're back. This is Drinks and Destinations. I'm May and I'm taking over for Samira. I feel so bad I'm taking over for her, but we're with Rojita and she was asking me about my New Year's Eve tips.
Yeah, I know. And so for people like me who have no plans yet, I'm not going out of the city.
No.
And I'm definitely not going to any 5-star hotel for a New Year bash. Unless someone is actually inviting me and telling me that, oh, New Year, you're going to be a private guest. Only then maybe.
Okay,
but
you.
I don't see that happening. So maybe I'll be going to a house party or maybe staying at home. So I have no idea. So you have to tell me how exactly, if I'm going for a house party, and how exactly can I make it interesting and have fun?
So I am a party gal. And for me, because I party every other time in the year, New Year's is the one time that I genuinely don't want to party. It sounds so odd.
But you don't get that feeling that if you don't have a plan, then obviously, you know, you're kind of depressed.
I know one thing for New Year's. It's like, I want to be happy when I welcome the New Year's in, right?
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I want in my head. I don't want to be in a space where there's going to be drama or like, because, you know, like if you're going to hang out with certain kinds of friends, then you're going to like, there's going to be drama here. I can't do it. Like, this one is there. This one's ex is now hanging out at this party. And you're like, I don't even want to be anywhere near this. Because you want to have a drink and chill and not be like, you know, taking care of like someone crying in a toilet. So
basically, first tip would be to hang around with people that maybe you're very comfortable with.
They're really
with.
Close to. So if you're doing the house party scene, like guarantee that it's going to be with friends you're super close to and you know that you're going to have the best time with.
Yes.
Right? And I think I mean, there have been times, I can't deny that I've not been for parties, like house parties, where I've not known people.
Yeah.
So I used to do this when I used to live in Chennai. I used to get so bored of the Chennai parties that I used to go to Bangalore and party in Bangalore with my cousin, my favorite cousin, my cousin Sid. And he used to always throw, like, I've landed up at someone's leaving do. I didn't even know the guy. I just came out like, I'm so sorry you're leaving. Where's the alcohol? Poor guy. But the thing was, his friends were so nice to me because Sid is also such a great guy. So because I was so close to him, I knew that he would always, you want to feel like you're looked after to a certain extent, but also free to do whatever you want. You're not like caged in, you can only steal, you can only do this, you can do that.
Yeah.
I love the fact that all his friends, whoever it is that I met randomly, were super nice to me and you had a great time. And the thing is, the only thing that I find is such a, an oxymoron about New Year's Eve is that the next day, if you've had like quite a few drinks the previous night, then you're going to be mad hungover the next
obviously,
day.
Obviously, yeah. The That's only, the worst part, in fact.
Yeah.
Really
it's the
sad.
Only downside of the party scene and if you're drinking or whatever. So I would think that, see, I've done a couple of things to like make sure I don't get hungover, which is that if I've had quite a lot to drink, I always have a bottle of water by my bed so that I drink at least like a liter of water before I go to bed, because at least you're the next day morning you're rehydrated in some way because you get completely dehydrated and that's where your brain just like melts. I've also done Party Smart, but I have a couple of recommendations for Party Smart, which is that you have to have that Party Smart before your first drink for sure. And I have done it. I've like been at an open bar and had like a mad drinking session. But the thing is, Party Smart only works to stop your headache the next day. So you're not hungover. But if you haven't slept, you're obviously going to be tired.
Yeah.
And if you haven't eaten, your stomach's going to be screwed.
I think food is one of the most important parts when you're drinking. If you don't eat, then you're completely...
You know you're going to be drinking. Yeah. You know you're going to have shots. It's New Year's.
Absolutely.
So I genuinely think that, don't think of Party Smart as a cure-all, because it's not. It's not going to take care of your whole body.
True.
It'll take care of your headache and that's it. But your stomach... and your tiredness, because you haven't slept,
that's going to stay.
That's going to stay, and you got to sort that out. Yeah. At least have something to eat, man. Some chakna, man. Something, eat something.
Yeah.
And like, don't go to a New Year's party unless you either had dinner beforehand or you know there's going to be some food there at some point.
Absolutely. Not to those places where, you know, you have no idea where the drink is coming from, where the food is, and
like scary.
50 people in the house, and you know, someone is puking in one corner, and then some guys, they're just hovering over one girl, and then that kind of stuff. So any funny story that you would like to share with our listeners?
So I would recommend, because this is really interesting that you're saying like what to recommend, like to do or not to do at a house party. So sometimes, and I remember this when I especially was in college and stuff, that never have the punch at a party. If this is punch where you've not seen how they, and I've always,
it's always the deadly mix.
It's a deadly mix. So
drinks.
I've seen someone make the punch. It had orange juice, wine, vodka, ouzo.
Oh my God.
It was a horrible combination of stuff. There was vodka and there was all kinds of stuff in there. And then I actually had a sip of it because I was thinking this is going to taste terrible. One of my friends poured me a little bit of it.
Yeah.
I drank it. Tasted wonderful.
Yeah.
Tastes great. In actuality, it tastes amazing.
Yeah.
But you will be crawling, licking pavement by the end of the night. You'll be like, I love this tree. It's can you
That's
see
how drunk
my face
sounds, then we know it.
Exactly. We hugging trees and making out with a leaf or something.
But when you're talking about drinks, I think I can give an idea that
please tell me
we should
what you
stick
recommend.
To only clear booze. Like clear booze as in colorless drinks, like gin, vodka, and maybe tequila, something like that, which are clear in terms of colors.
Okay.
Because they don't, they are much lesser in terms of giving you the bad hangover that we are talking about than drinks like whiskey and bourbon and all. So what happens is the chemical compounds, which are called congeners, they are much higher in case of the drinks, the dark drinks. And
like
darker
whiskey.
Drinks like bourbon, scotch, and, you know, maybe tequila as well. The aged tequila ones, they tend to be...
What about like Old Monk, like dark rums and stuff?
Old Monk would also be a problem. But I think... For me,
is there a difference between like dark rum and white rum?
Yeah, of course. There is a huge difference. But for me, I feel if you stick to just one particular drink for the entire evening, you're still safe. When you start mixing your drinks, that's when the actual problems start. You know, mixing wine with vodka and you're drinking scotch and then beer. And so then by the end of the evening, it becomes way too much. And instead of having fun, you actually end up... I don't know what.
In the toilet for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
But if you were... So, I know I've never actually asked anyone this question, but it was really interesting you're talking about only clear booze because I didn't know that. Is there any types of alcohol that's okay if you mix them? Because you know that if you... Say I stick to beer. Someone's just like, dude, shots. What do you do? Because is there certain alcohols that are slightly like... okay-ish to mix?
No.
Nothing. You're no. So I'm just checking.
See, beer, if you stick to only beer for the entire evening, you're still safe. If you stick to only wine, but wine to a certain extent is fine. More than that could give you a really bad hangover the next day.
Okay.
So the best would be to stay safe by not mixing your drinks. Second would be if you really have to do shots, then please drink a lot of water before and after that. And keep eating food. And only that way you can control it.
So pace yourself, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually really good. Yeah.
You should not do more than one or two shots. If you keep doing shots, well, then happy you new are year. Gone. Yeah, it's going to be like a really bad start to your new year. But you can also, like, besides doing that, you could also... alternate with water and non-alcoholic drinks in between when you're having your drinks. And sometimes it's really good to not listen to friends when they're actually pestering you with have one more drink. You just, you know, pretend to be having a drink when you're having just water. You know, say, okay, you're drinking vodka or something. It's okay because it's your body. You have to listen to it, right?
That's true, man.
You're the one suffering. No one else is.
So, exactly.
And you'd always have one friend in the entire gang who would have no hangover at all. In the morning, that person would be happy, chirpy and shiny and dancing. And you'd be like, what the hell? Why did I drink so much? And look at... This person.
Shraddha, our producer, who gets no hangover.
I have a friend like that. I get so irritated when I look at her in the morning. Like, what the hell? How come she is not
fresh as a daisy? Yeah.
She's like really crazy.
No, but I agree with you. Peer pressure is actually the real killer at parties.
Absolutely.
Especially for New Year's, because everyone feels like you have to be at your happiest. There's so much pressure to be super happy or super high.
And you'd always have one friend who would get you shots. Like, one more round of shots. And then, you know, it just goes and on and on. And then it just...
Yeah, it's an uncontrollable spiral. And you know that you're like, oh God, I don't know.
And one more thing to enjoy your... party, the best is not to smoke, because smoking is anyways bad, but I think smoking while drinking, it can just aggravate the hangover process.
I know most people
really horrible.
Like, do smoke and drink, the next day your hangover is like far worse than if it was just booze.
Okay. We want the New Year's Eve to be fun and really memorable and not something that
if you're drinking alcohol, memory is going to be a little bit like...
That's true. Yeah. So, you know, or else, there's another technical thing that you could also follow. There are things like, you can measure your... I mean, you asked me that which alcohol has how much of unit and which is permissible. If I really have to be careful about how much I'm drinking. So, there are a couple of... apps on iTunes and Google Play. One New Drinks Tracker. So something that tells you how much of units.
One New Drinks Tracker, what is that?
So basically it tells you how many units of alcohol which drink has. So a small glass of red, white or rosé wine, which is 125 ml of quantity, would have 1.5 units.
Okay.
And 14 units... for the entire week is allowed for everyone. That is also divided in...
That ain't happening.
That's a medical, term that is used to actually let you know that this is safe. But then obviously on New Year's Eve, no one is going to stick to that.
The week's quota is happening on one night.
One night. It's binge drinking, basically. We know that. But still, just to be on safer side, 2.1 unit is going to be one standard glass of red, white and rosé, which is 175 ml, if it's a little higher than... mentioned quantity.
Yeah.
3 units would be a large glass of red, white and rosé wine, which is by 250 ml size, which is like really big. half, I mean, at like least 80% full.
One third bottle.
Yeah. And 2 units would be your pint of lower strength lager, maybe 3.6 to 4.5% lager.
Yeah,
it's 2 units.
Chill, yeah.
So beer is still okay. Mm-hmm. Vodka is apparently okay. People say that. But I don't, I'm not a vodka drinker. So I'm.
Well, I'm actually more of, I mean, I would say I'm an old monk gal, but like, I don't, I know, but I definitely don't drink. Like, I'm not a whiskey person, really. So yeah. I don't drink whiskey at all.
But I think it's a really bad idea to drink whiskey in a party, especially in a New Year's party, because after, how much can you drink? In a party like that, you're going to drink quite a lot, right?
So you could whiskey space it out. Whiskey is huge.
Yeah.
Every second person I know is a whiskey drinker here. Everyone drinks, especially men. I know.
And the problem
men.
Is they add Coke and soda and everything to that. And when you add these things, that's much worse. In fact, adding energy
drink.
Are you
a purist when it comes to your whiskey?
I am, actually.
That's why.
And I drink more single malt than blended whiskeys. Yeah. But I feel that. And the other thing, because it's been proved that if you add energy drinks to your vodka or any other drink, it's like the worst thing that you could have and do to your body.
Why?
It's really bad because energy drinks have anyways, you know, that high energy push to your body and then alcohol. Combined, these two can create havoc for you.
Oh no.
So just stay away from cocktails which have energy drink in them. It's really bad. I completely avoid that. So a bottle of lager beer would have 1.7 units and a can of lager would have 2 units and Alcopop, the RTDs would have around 1.5 units.
Nice.
So these are just for, you know,
so basically, what's more lethal? So wines are slightly more lethal, I think.
I think beer and wine are still safe. Cocktails in a place that you are not, about is a really no-no.
Thing is, with cocktails, they mix alcohols, right? That's the thing. Again, no mixing.
And then, you know, some parties, you might say that they're serving you a big premium brand, but you never know what they're serving you in your cocktail glass, you know, because all the places they try to... cut cost and then save money and
local,
you might not be drinking the premium spirit. You might be drinking some local stuff you're not aware of in the cocktail.
That's scary.
You would never know that.
And that's a whole different kind. That's alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I don't go to the huge New Year bashes.
Because you never know. Actually, no, that's
true. If you go there, then stick to your wines. I think beer is the safest bet at that. Those places, I feel. You just stick to beer, have a couple of drinks at home and then go and
then go
you
out.
Know enjoy.
That makes sense.
Out. So that's
awesome.
So yeah. But if you've had a heavy drinking episode a previous night, then hangover or not, doctors advise that you should wait at least 48 hours before drinking any more alcohol. So your hair of the dog.
I can't do that.
That's a very bad concept. It never cures. You should never have a drink the next day after party. And that doesn't work. I don't think it ever works.
Honestly, I've never tried that because I think the next day, you're so averse to alcohol that
true.
I can't even smell it. I
can't even hear the word alcohol if I'm hungover, so it's that bad.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. Hair of the dog, I can't do. It's too much.
So, I think we've given a lot of good tips. Anything else you would like to talk about?
I don't know. I think the thing is, I've had some random New Year's. I've had like great New Year's with great friends. And I've also actually sat at home because, like I said,
I have done that too once, 1 year. Yeah.
I've done it. I have literally like chilled at home and had like a beer or a glass of wine or something and watched like the top 100 videos of 2015 on VH1.
That's so good.
So yeah, just
not
chilled.
Not bad at all.
And slept.
Or they could listen to our podcast, you know, Drinks and Destinations podcast.
Oh, really? No.
Stay at home and nothing to do.
And listen to D&D. Join party. Drink responsibly.
Yeah, drink responsibly. That's what is the motto.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
But wherever you're going, maybe you're going out of town or you staying at home or you go to your friend's place, just remember to drink responsibly.
That's absolutely it. Be careful,
and have
man.
Fun.
Yeah.
You should start your day with a big, huge smile in your face and not hungover.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how it should
wake
be.
Wake up in the morning feeling like fresh because the 1st of Jan should be happy and not holy, like, I don't even know why I exist on planet Earth.
True.
Yeah.
Great.
I agree with you.
Thank you so much, May, for joining us today.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I've enjoyed myself. Talking about drinking is my favorite pastime. But
Yeah, so I think we should wish our listeners a very happy new year.
Happy new year! 2017, and here we come.
Yeah, and we're going to be back with another exciting episode next year. And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and SoundCloud. You can also listen to us on Audioboom. And you could like our page on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram as Drinks and Destinations. And while all of us love our tipple, make sure that you drink responsibly. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Our podcasts bring all the boys to the yard, and damn right, they're better than yours. But you don't need to stand outside in the yard. Just follow IVM Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We might be on Tinder too. Just go ahead and swipe right.